Hallelujah. This morning, I'm bringing a message I have entitled, What Do You Have in Your Net? What do you have in your net? And I'm taking the scripture from the book of John, chapter 21. Maybe from verse 1 to 10. I'll read that quickly, and then we will dissect into the scripture. So it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said to him, we are going with you. They went out and immediately got onto the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come now, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they said, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Hallelujah. So if you go back to verse 1, the Bible says, now after these things, the Lord appeared again in this manner. Simon Peter had said, I'm going back to fishing. So I started looking to the scriptures. After which things? The Bible said, after these things. I started looking, after which things? What could have happened that the Lord had to appear to them? What would have happened that Simon Peter said, I'm going back to fishing? And I saw a number of things, but I want to discuss just three of them with us this morning. The first thing was that Jesus had died. Their master, their miracle worker, their provider, their leader, their teacher, he had died. And when Jesus had died, probably they felt that that was the end of everything. Who was going to be there to multiply bread and fish for them again? Who was going to be changing water into wine again? Who was there to be working the miracles for them again? Remember earlier, the Bible says that somebody had brought the son to the disciples and they could not heal him. So probably they were thinking, who is going to be working the miracles again? When people bring their sick children, who is going to be laying hands on them? So they were worried. And it was what led Peter to decide to give up. So Peter thought that was the end because Jesus was dead. How many times in our life don't you feel that your world has come to an end? Because you have lost somebody, because you have lost a job, because you have lost something, you think the world has come to an end, and you think all is over. The disciples were in the same boat. Simon Peter the rock was in the same boat. Jesus had died, and when Jesus died, he felt that was the end. So he decided to give up, and he said, I go a fishing. But I have come to tell somebody, the fact that you have lost somebody, the fact that you have lost a job, the fact that you have lost something, you have lost some money, you have lost a business, it does not mean the world has come to an end. Simon Peter thought the world had come to an end. They thought all was over. So they decided to go back to the world, to go back to fishing, to go back to what he thought he knew how to do. When God had called him and told him, you will no more be a fisherman, but now you'll be fishers of men. So I have come to tell you, once God has told you something, it doesn't matter the problems you have gone through. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what you have lost. God is still with you. So point number one, Jesus had died. Then point number two, you know, the Bible says it was the third time Jesus was appearing to them. So it was like he was appearing and disappearing. Appearing and disappearing. It's like there is no consistency. He will come today. They are gathered. They are in the upper room. Then he will appear. Then he will show them, this is me. This is my side. When they are excited, the Lord has come with them. Bah! He will vanish again.
He will appear. He will break bread with them. When he's breaking bread with them, they're all excited. The bread has come back. The multiplier of bread has come back. Then he will go again. You know, I was much, when we were younger, my grandfather on my mother's side, we always liked him for two things. Number one, he had a clock in his hall. Every 7 p.m., wherever the grandchildren, once we are visited, we must all gather and pray. That was number one, evening prayers. And then number two, he always told us nice stories. And I remember one particular story. I used to like it. It was the story of the man who had the ability to disappear. So he will appear, and then he will do anything. Come here, when you misbehave, you want to catch him. He will say in Ewe, jump and vanish. Then he will vanish. So the disciples thought that Jesus was in this jump and vanish business. So he will appear, disappear. You see, how many times doesn't it happen to us that sometimes you feel like, Charlie, when you are down, you are about to give up, then all of a sudden, the Lord will appear, and then he will give you a prophecy. You take a prophetic word. You are excited with the prophetic word. You are running. Then 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then everything looks like it's gone back to the scene. Then the vim has dropped, and you are like, did the Lord deceive me again? He has disappeared again. Don't worry, the disciples were in that boat. Peter the rock was in that boat. The Lord was appearing and disappearing. So they thought God was not consistent. They thought God was not always with them. But I've come to tell you, God is always with you. He is closer to you than you think. When you think he's far away, he's probably even sitting on your lap. And he's behind the scene working a lot of things you would not know. God is always behind the scene. Jesus is always behind the scene. Sometimes our physical eyes may not see, but he is behind the scenes. Reverend Keto, you know, about 6-7 years ago, I was about 7 years at that time. I know, I'll tell you why. But I know your mind was not a resident pastor. Me too, my mind was not a deputy resident pastor. We were 6 years ago. Yes, I'll tell you what we were thinking about. I parked here, then a lady approached me. The lady is in the worship team. Thank God she's in church. She doesn't even, maybe she's even forgotten her own story. She approached me here, and then she called me, Pastor Kaffe. That time, we were even pastor. I don't think we're reverend yet. I'm not too sure. She said, Pastor Kaffe, I stopped. Then she said, I saw you in my dream yesterday. I said, really? Then I was like, Charlie, because me, people who see me in the dream, when they see me in real life, they run away. So for this one, who saw me in the dream and walked up to me, I realized that she carries a good spirit. So quickly I stopped. I said, really? Then she said, yes. She said, Pastor Kaffe, I was in the banking hall, and I was being accused of something I didn't do. You remember? She said, I was being accused of something I didn't do. And I was trying to defend, but then I was struggling. Then she said, Reverend Keto came in, and came and asked me, what is happening? I told him. He said, So he also tried. He was defending me, but they won't listen. He was defending me, but it was not working. Not that it was not working. They were being difficult. Then he said, then I also appeared. Then when I also came, I said, what's happening? Then she said, this is the story. I said, how? Then me and Reverend Keto combined forces. We managed to. Now, 6-7 years ago, Reverend Keto, me and you, we had just remarried. Eh? We had come out of our sorrows. Our mind was not on resident pastor. We were thinking of other things. But God was behind the scene, working. So sometimes you may not see God, you may not feel God, but he is behind the scene, he is working. He doesn't appear and disappear. It is we who sometimes are insensitive to his presence. So he was appearing and disappearing. And then the third thing, those three will be enough. They will go on. The third thing was that Peter had betrayed Jesus. Peter had sinned. He had betrayed Jesus. He denied Jesus. He said, I don't know you. They said, you were with him. He said, no, I saw my father Cantona, but I don't know him. I have not seen him before. And you know, the painful thing about this was, the Lord had told Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you deny me. And Peter said, me? How can I deny you? I will never deny you. It shall never happen. You see, it's like when you are playing a game of football. Those of us who play football, don't laugh. When you are playing a game of football and there is a penalty, right? The striker takes the ball, walks to the goalkeeper, tells the goalkeeper, this ball, I'll put it to the right. There will be no shot. I'll place the ball with no shot, no power. Place to the right. That's what I'm doing. So the goalkeeper goes into the post and thinks the striker is deceiving him. So the striker plays the ball to the right, but he dives to the left. And then the striker scores. You can imagine how that goalkeeper will feel. He will feel intimidated. He will feel bad. His team will be against him. Everybody will be talking. Because the man told you, I will do this, and you didn't believe it. He gave you the clue. Same thing. The Lord had told Peter, you will deny me. And he said, me, I won't. He said, I won't. He refused. He said, I won't. But then Peter had gone ahead and denied Jesus. So you can imagine. Now, anytime Peter thought of ministry, the devil will be there to remind him. The devil will be there to remind him of his sin. You, the master you denied, in the name of which Jesus, the one you said you don't know. So he will remind him. He will remind him of everything that Peter had done. And I was not there, but according to my two fathers, they say, but Peter said, I swear my father can't do that, but I don't know him. So you see, then the devil will remind you, you were swearing. The Bible says, thou shalt not swear. You were swearing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You were swearing, number one. Then number two, you brought your father in. You've insulted your father. And then the canton akpono, I don't know what it means. Man. But you can imagine. So he said, though anytime Peter wanted to do ministry, it's like when you come to church, anytime you want to do anything in church, the devil reminds you of what he did 2 years ago. The devil reminds you of that sin. So we come to church. The devil asks you, Akuma Ben. Wakuma Fino. And then he reminds you the people you have not forgiven, the things you have done. Anytime you come to church and we are lifting our holy hands. You say, hey, that hand is not holy. Put it down. That hand is not holy. Put it down. So these things had happened. And Simon Peter and the disciples and the other disciples who were with him, they realized that, Charlie, this ministry, it doesn't look like we can continue. This ministry, it looks like we are not cooked for it. This ministry, we are not ready for it. What will we do? Let us go back to what we used to do. Let us go back to the world. Let's go back to what I'm qualified for. Simon Peter said, I'm a qualified fisherman. I have my PhD in fisheries. I can catch fish like nobody's business. I am going back. So Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. And guess what? The other said, we go with you. As a Christian and as a leader, be careful what you do and what you say. Not only as a pastor, but as a Christian and as a leader, because people are watching you. If you are not careful, you will legalize what is sin. Because there are younger people who are watching you. So when they see you and they think it is normal to be in the office and be under invoicing and over invoicing, they see that, oh, Pastor Cry is doing it. It's normal. To them, it's no more a sin. Elder is doing it. Deacon is doing it. Christian, my Christian brother, is doing it. To them, it's no more a sin because they are watching you. You may be like, who am I? Nobody knows me. People know you and they are watching you. You know, one day our father was preaching here. And I think, if you remember, he was preaching about you wake up in the morning and you don't pray. And then when you're in the car too, you won't listen to better music. And then you are listening to, what's the name? Take a cheese. So I enjoyed the message. And normally when I enjoy messages like that, like last week's message, when I go to the office, then I try to, bring some of the points out. So we were in the office and we were all happy, but I had gone to my inner room and I was working. The team was happy. I can't remember what it was, but they were happy. So all of a sudden, I stepped out of the office, stood at my door, and I said, say cheese, take a picture. Then the whole office went, hey, boss! Then I was like, oh. Then my national service personnel, he said, boss, get that kind of say, Esther Smith. Nah, kid, dear, Efrain. So I said, hey, before these people say that I'm legalizing. So quickly, you remember there was a clip. I showed everybody the clip. I said, oh, we had a nice time at church. They said, So they were watching me quietly. And if I'm not careful, I go and do something, they will all be like, hey, if Reverend is doing it here, then it's normal. Yeah. Then it's legal. So Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. As a leader, as a Christian, be careful the decision you take. Because your decision may bring other people down. So they said, I go a fishing. And the other said, we go with you. So they went forth and got into a ship. Immediately, they didn't waste time. And that night, they caught nothing. There is nothing in the world for you. Going back to what you used to do, when the Lord has called you to stop that and do something else, is not the solution to your problem. Going back is not the solution to your problem. Stick to what God has called you to do. They taught all night, they caught nothing. Your PhD will catch nothing. Your degree, it will catch nothing. Your money, it will catch nothing. Your wisdom, it will catch nothing. Your power, it will catch nothing. The only thing that can help you get something in your net is God. Without God, you will engage in what we call profitless hard work. Or what the West world calls cost 90. It will come to zero without God. So they thought all night. And they thought that night and they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples, they didn't realize it was Jesus. And that is what I'm saying. Jesus is close to you, but you don't realize it is Jesus. He is talking to you, but you are not hearing his voice. He doesn't disappear. He doesn't vanish. He doesn't leave you for 1 second. He is always with you. Whatever you are going through, he is with you. So when the morning was come, in their struggle, even when they had backslidden and gone back to the world, he was still with them. Then Jesus stood on the shore. And he said unto them, children. Now, underline the word children. Remember, one, the disciples had backslidden. They had backslidden. And number two, they didn't even recognize Jesus. But Jesus still recognized them and called them children. Even in your backslidden state, God recognizes you as his child. You are still a child of God. He doesn't disown you. He doesn't deny you. He doesn't let you go out. No. You are still a child of God. So he says, children, have you any meat? And then they answered, no. The obvious answer would be no, because they had left him and abandoned him and gone back to the world. Next verse, please. Have you got anything? And he said unto them, cast the net onto the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I don't want to believe that Peter, with all his experience, hadn't cast the net onto the right side. They had done it, but they didn't get it. They had done the left, the right, the whatever, but they didn't get it. So they said, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. When they heard the voice of the Lord, and they hearkened to the voice of the Lord, even in their backsliding state, the Bible says that they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it. They were not able to take their fish because the fish was a lot. The next one. Then the disciple whom Jesus said loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Why? Ask yourself a question. I don't think he was physically naked. And why would he not, if he was not ashamed to be naked in front of the other disciples, why was he ashamed to be naked in front of Jesus? It means he had realized at that time that, Charlie, I have backslidden. He now had to go back to take his clothes and put it on. I've come to challenge somebody today. No matter the state you find yourself in, go back to for your clothes and put it on. The Lord is ready to accept you. He's ready to recognize you as a son. He's ready to recognize you as a daughter. He's ready to restore you. For he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far off. But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Listen, what you are looking for in the world, God has already got it ahead of you. They were looking for fish. There was already fish on the fire and with bread. They left the gospel to go and look for fish. But Jesus already had roasted fish, roasted catfish, roasted tilapia, roasted amani with bread waiting for them. So number one, there are two lessons to learn here. Whatever you are looking for in the world, whatever you are looking for in the world, God has more than enough. You just need to stick to what he has told you. So what do you have in your net? If your net is empty, you are probably not following God's direction. So they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereupon and bread. The next one, and this is where my message is. Then Jesus said unto them, bring off the fish which you have now caught. Now, the Bible says when they got to the shore, there was fish already on the fire. So it means breakfast was set. There was even bread in addition. But Jesus still said, bring forth the fish which you have caught. In other words, I want to see the work of your hands. You yourself, what have you done? You yourself, what do you have in your net? Bring your net of fish. There may be food ready for you. But let me see. You see, some of us believe that Christianity is for lazy people. I'm sorry, but let's face it. Some of us think that when you're a Christian, you can be lazy and God will do everything for you. No. God doesn't do everything for you. You have a role to play. God has a role to play. Your divine helper has a role to play. And do you play your role? God cannot play your role for you. So you have a role to play. So he said, bring forth the fish which you have caught. Bring forth what is in your net. I've come to ask you again, what do you have in your net? What do you have in your net? And this morning I want to dwell on the net for the next maybe 20 or so minutes. I just want to talk on the net. What do you have in your net? And how do you get something in your net? How do you maintain what is in your net? Point number one. Hear the voice of God and stick to God's direction. Stick to God's direction. What has God called you to do? Stick to that. Stick to that. God has called you to be a pastor. Stick to your pastor. God has called you to be an accountant. Do the work of the accountant. God has called you to be a doctor. Stick to the doctor. God has called you to be a cleaner. Don't complain. Be a cleaner. I'm sorry to say, but I know somebody say, hey, because you are an accountant, that's why you are saying that. But you see, not everybody can be a doctor. Not everybody will be a doctor. Not everybody will be an accountant. Ah, if my car spoils, who will repair my car? So we need mechanics. We need cleaners. We need drivers. We need everybody. But which one has God called you to do? When God calls you to do something, stick to that one. It's just a matter of time. There are garages in this country. Me, I will not take my car there. Because I know I can't pay. Yeah, even though I'm an accountant, chartered accountant, over how many years profession, experience, whatever. But I know I can't pay. So I will not even take my car there at all. There are people in this country. There are cleaners. Listen, there are cleaners right here in this church. Eh? In this church, who drive their own car. And there are graduates in the country looking for job. With certificate and everything, looking for job. But God has called. And the amazing thing about this guy is, ever since I know him over 20-something, all he has been concerned about is cleaning. Every time you see him cleaning, every time cleaning. When you come here during the week, he's always in his nice shorts with either a t-shirt on, and he dresses well. He's not like, I'm a cleaner, so let me dress. No, he dresses well. Decently. And then the amazing thing about him, he always has his duster. That is the symbol of his work. The duster is always on his shoulder like this. You observe things, so his duster is always on his shoulder. Every time, even on Sunday, sometimes you see him with the duster. That is his working tool. God has called him to be a cleaner, and he's focused on being a cleaner. So what has God called you to do? Focus on that. Don't look in somebody else's pot. The doctors are making money and they are going on strike because they want more money. We are suffering. No, God hasn't called you to be a doctor. Concentrate on your calling. Don't look in my pot. There are accountants who are looking for job. They are not getting. So not everybody is called to be an accountant. There are cleaners who have opened cleaning companies. If you call them to come and clean your house, you probably can't pay. So focus on your job. Number two, don't try to destroy somebody else, thinking that by destroying somebody else, then you will succeed. No. It never happens. No. It doesn't work that way. I think it was Bishop Oyedepo who said, the sky is too wide for two birds to collapse. Two birds to collide. Have you heard of birds having an accident in the sky before? No. No. Even when you go to like Eastern Africa and so on, where wildlife is whatever, and you see a lot of birds in certain times of the season, and they are migrating, they never crash in the air. Even in Ghana here, we used to see those white birds, you know. Sometimes you see them together at a point in time of the, I think, Harmattan or whatever. Then you see them, they migrate together. They never crash. So don't think you can destroy somebody. If you try to destroy somebody to get what you want, you may never get it. And even if you get it, somebody too will destroy you. One day somebody approached me and said, I want you to be my father. I said, good, no problem. I'm ready. So I gave my number. But within 3 minutes, at that same day, after we spoke, I realized that this father-son thing, it will not work. It was not going to work. Because there and then, first day we have spoke, no, this pastor was supposed to be my father. He doesn't have time for me. That's why I've come to you. Oh, really? Really? You are destroying? And the person you are destroying, I know the person more than you. You who say he's your father, no, me, I know him more than you. I've seen his love for people. I've seen the attention he has for people. And then you are telling me he doesn't have time for you. I don't think it's the pastor. I think the problem is you. So that is point number one. Point number two, don't destroy somebody. Point number three, be honest. Be honest with what you are doing. Honesty and integrity, it will take you places. Honesty and integrity, it will take you places. But if you are doing, you have been called to be a mechanic and you are there and you are undercutting people, you can say, your shock absorbers is poor. I'm going to buy a brand new one. It is 2,500. Meanwhile, the brand new one, first of all, is 1,005. Then you go and buy a second-hand one, which is even cheaper. Then you come and slot it under the car, and then the car is fine because it's a second-hand whatever. It will work well. And you have pocketed the rest of the money. You don't know where that money passed, but it will vanish. Any money you steal, the devil will steal it from you. But if you are focused on what God has called you to do and you have honesty and integrity, you will succeed. Don't be in a hurry. Some of us these days, you are in a hurry for everything. You are in a hurry. Don't be in too much of a hurry. Be honest and be patient and wait. Your time will surely come. We all didn't arrive here in one day. Some people don't want their pictures to be shown for years ago. If you see some of us years ago, yeah, I don't have pictures. I don't really. If you come and ask me for any of my old pictures, I don't have. Because when I was younger, I didn't know how to take pictures. When I see my own pictures, I deny that it is me. But if you see us years back and you see us today, you realize that it is patience and God that has brought us this far. Stick to what you have been called to do. Be honest. Some of us are full of lies. The lying will not help you. One day somebody approached me in the office. I said, he showed me somebody. The guy is doing one of these miniatures. I said, do you know that guy is an Odadie? I said, oh. He said, yeah, he went to Prisek Legon. I said, oh. I mean, forgive me, but I was like, so how did it happen this? I said, bring me the boy. So they brought the young man to him. I sat him down. I mean, normally when I'm having this conversation, I want witness. So two other people were with me. I said, I hear your dad here. He said, yeah. You went to Prisek Legon. He said, yeah. I said, what year did he finish? He gave me his year. I said, so, I mean, how come this is what you are doing? So, life. I said, but how were your results? He said, oh, they were okay. So I said, okay, when you get home today, immediately you get home, send me a picture of your results slip. Send me your results slip immediately. Then I told him, but if you know you were a bad boy in school, then tell me so that I don't waste my time. So immediately I called my year group president. And I said, Charlie, I have a case. They said, oh, daddy, I hear he's good and he speaks good English, but this is what is. Then I started calling a few people, talking to even Pastor Ambrose. I spoke to him about this boy. The boy never sent me his slip that day. It was a Friday. He didn't send it Friday. He didn't send it Saturday. He didn't send it Sunday. He didn't send it Monday. Then we went to the office. I met him. I said, ah, why haven't you sent it? He said, oh, I'll send it. Well, almost 1 week, I never got the slip. So I called him again. And I said, ah, you were in Presec? He said, yes. I said, do you know Pastor Ambrose Asamoah? He said, oh, no. Your senior house master, you don't know him. I didn't want to mention that name here. Your senior house master, you don't know him. Then I said, because I remember all those who trained me at my scripture union. So I mentioned another teacher. He said, no, I don't know him. Then I said, who was your SP? Because I wanted to go and continue with my background check. Then he couldn't remember the name. So I said, okay. Then the following day, he came to me, boss, I need to see you. I said, yeah, see me. Then he said, you know, I didn't go to Presec Legon. I went to Sumun Presec. So I said, oh, they're all Presby schools. They are okay. They are okay. They are all Presby schools. But my point is, you see, now, this guy could easily have brought me trouble. Assuming people started giving me money, my integrity was at stake. So there and then, for that lie that he told, I found it difficult to help him. Not because I don't want to help him because he didn't go to Presec, but because he was not honest. Honesty and integrity. If you had just come to tell me that, oh, I need help, this, that, I could have mobilized people. We could have helped him. But trying to use, you know, the idea to cover up and all that, I realized that no. So honesty and integrity, lying will not help you. If you tell a lie, you have to be ready to tell 1,000 more lies to cover up the first lie. So if you don't know how to lie, don't try it because you'll be caught. Hallelujah. So focus on your work, focus on the calling of God, honesty and integrity. Don't look into somebody else's soup. The moment you start looking into somebody else's soup, you take your attention off what you should be doing and you are focusing on somebody else. Hallelujah. So focus on your calling. Number four, hard work. When you have been called, be ready for hard work. You know, like we said, laziness will not take you anywhere. You yourself must go a fishing. So Jesus knew there was fish already on the fire, but he still told them, cast the net. And then when they came and saw the fish, they must have been hungry. He said, bring the one you have caught. Jesus believes in hard work. The one you have caught, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your net? Where is your own net? What is in it? Bring that one and let me see. So Jesus believes in hard work. He believes that when you must be diligent with your work. Don't think that you can be lazy, playing around, not focused on your work, and then you will succeed and you will prosper. No. Nobody prospers by laziness. Nobody prospers by doing nothing. Nobody prospers by sleeping 24 hours a day. 24 hours in the day, you sleep 15 hours. You eat 3 hours. Then you play games. And you are waiting to prosper. You will not prosper. Manna will not drop from heaven. So hard work. The next point is hard work. You must be ready to work hard. You must be ready to sacrifice. You must be ready. If you are not ready to work hard, you are not ready to sacrifice, then get ready. You will not make it. Oh, you don't like what I've said, but that is the truth. And then the next one, grow and develop your work. If you have been called as a mechanic, develop your work. Stop using mommy 24, mommy 4, 24 span, and then, no. At a point in time, do something. Get an analyzer. Don't do trial and error anymore. Don't do trial and error. So grow your work, develop the business. Where you are today, let's not see you there tomorrow. When you come to you tomorrow, let's see you have advanced. Grow your work. What God has called you, if you're an academician, go back to school, do your master's, first degree, go back and do your master's. Go back and develop yourself and grow. If you don't grow your work, you'll be left behind. We are in a state where everything is, we are in times where everything is developing. So if you don't grow your work, you'll be left behind. Then the next one is be frugal. In other words, don't spend anyhow. Don't think that money has come, so you must spend it anyhow. Remember, there was fish ready to be eaten, but the Lord still said, bring the one you have caught. Bring it and let us see. What it means is that even though there is food, bring that one too. Don't throw it away. Don't leave it to rot. Some of us, when we make a little money, we must spend it anyhow. We must spend it on all kinds of things. You must spend everything you have got. You want to squander it, but it doesn't work that way. Be frugal. Nobody is saying don't lead a good life. Lead the good life, but at the same time, to save, invest, do your business. So be frugal. And then finally, don't try to help God. Don't try to help God. Sometimes God has called you. God has given you a gift. God has told you something, and you are trying to help God. Don't try to help God. You cannot help God. It's impossible to help God. And somebody said, how can we help God? We are always trying to help God. When God tells you something, just stick to what he has said. One day a young man approached me right here in church. And then I was holding a diary. It was a diary of a bank. And I've never worked in a bank before. All my years, I've never worked in a bank before. So this young man approached me, and I was carrying a diary. And the story of how I got the diary is another story altogether. So he approached me. Then he said, the Lord is telling him to work in this particular bank, the bank, the diary I was holding. And the Lord said he should come and tell me so that I will be the one to facilitate going into the bank. Now, the funny thing is, around that same time, me myself, I was trying to enter into that bank. And there's a church member here who was helping me. And we were struggling and trying and trying and trying, but the thing was not working. Now God has got to tell somebody that the thing me myself, I'm trying to, that I'm not able to, I should now facilitate and help somebody. Now, if you want to work in whatever bank and you need my help, just come and tell me. I may approach Reverend Kito. Do you know a church member who works in this and that bank? And then we will help you. But the moment you try to help God, God says when he hasn't said. God says when he hasn't said. Now I'm afraid to help you. Because who knows what God will tell you. Now, first of all, I don't know which God is speaking to you. Then I also don't know what God is going to tell you when you enter into that bank. So don't try to help God. If God has said he will do something, just focus on what God has said he will do. He doesn't need your help to do what he said he will do. So what do you have in your net? What kind of fish do you have in your net? When you read on, the Bible says, when they sat down to eat, then the Lord asked the apostle, Simon Peter, do you love me more than this? More than the tilapia? More than the catfish? More than the fish? Do you love me? Then he said, feed my sheep. What do you have in your net? Do you love me more than this? then do the work of the ministry. Do you love me more than this? Preach the gospel. Do you love me more than this? Join the choir. Do you love me more than this? Serve in the protocol. Do you love me more than this? Identify your niche in the church and work. What do you have in your basket? Is your basket full of pain? Your net, is it full of pain? The number of ladies' hearts you have broken, is that what is in your net? The number of abortions you have caused, is that what is in your net? The number of men whose money you have chopped and deceived them, is that what is in your net? What is in your net? What do you have to show when the Lord appears? I'll end with a story. My auntie told me a story 2 weeks ago. I like stories because the stories, especially the real ones, they are very practical. It's a true story. A friend of hers had a problem with another friend. And this other friend decided that, this problem, where it is going, I don't like it. And this friend had gone to the U.S. So this one, looking for her, couldn't find her. Said, hey, you think you've dodged me to the U.S.? I'll kill your whole family. Yeah. So she went to the shrine and went to my auntie's friend's family house and went to plant all this red danger, whatever there, that the whole family, they would die. Then my auntie got wind of it. So went to follow this woman, look for this woman, to beg her to forgive her friend. So she went. She spent the whole day looking for the woman. And then eventually she found the woman. Immediately she went to the woman's house and said, oh, I'm so and so's friend. I came to beg. She sent you here to come and beg. No, I'm not listening to anything. Unless she does what I've told her to do, I'm killing the whole family. All of you will die. So my auntie said, I'm begging. She said, no. I said, you will all die. I'm killing everybody in the family. I will not listen. So my auntie said, well, she was about to leave. She took her thing. She was going. Then the woman said, you will die first. Say you are her sister. Then my auntie turned and looked at her and said, you cannot kill me. I will not die. For your information, she's not my sister. She's my friend. You know where she comes from? Me. I come from the Volta region. Then, it's not what you are thinking. Then the woman, because I come from the Volta region, there are some good people in the Volta region too. So the woman stopped. The woman stopped and said, you said you come from the Volta region. My auntie said, yes, I come from the Volta region. Then the woman said, please, I'm sorry, can I ask you? She said, which part of the Volta region do you come from? She said, I come from Jojo. No, that's where my mother comes from. So immediately, the woman stopped and apologized to my auntie and said, please come. Then my auntie said, what? Then she said, my father told me many years ago, there was a chieftaincy issue in his area, and they wanted to kill him. Then somebody smuggled him and brought him to Jojo. And they brought him to an elderly man in Jojo. And that elderly man took care of him. He couldn't speak the language. They were doing sign language, communicating, took care of him. So she said, my father said, number one, because of this man, please treat Ewes well when you see them. And then try and go to Jojo and go and look for this old man and thank him. Then my auntie looked at the woman and asked, Jojo is not too big. What is the name of the person? I may help you. And guess the name that was mentioned. Togbi Andreas Avogbedo, my grandfather. The mother of my auntie. The woman went flat on her knees, begging my auntie. Why? Because of what my grandfather had in his basket. Because of what my grandfather had in his net. The work that he did many years ago saved the whole family from being destroyed. So this morning, I ask you again, what do you have in your net? God bless you.